It's Friday. Yes, it's 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And I suppose I should be somewhere else, really, sitting down in front of the TV on the sofa. But I've got this thing to do, which is record the podcast, which is all about how I've been teaching GCSE computing to my year 10 class. So my name is Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a teacher at Our Lady's Catholic High School, which is in Preston in Lancashire. And about 2 years ago, I started teaching GCSE computing, and I have a class in year 11 and I have a class in year 10. And this podcast that I record is all about my year 10 class. So we have 3 hours in week A and 2 hours a week in week B. And this week we've had just two lessons. We've had a little bit of a detour from what I would normally be doing, because last week, although we had three lessons, it was our school mission week. So normal business didn't take place. Instead, we were trying to look at how we could combine computing with the theme of the mission. And that was in the previous podcast that I've recorded. This week, my class slightly depleted in numbers because a group of the pupils have gone off to Castlerigg for a religious retreat for a week. So I was a bit reluctant to start, to go back into what we've been doing in terms of computing theory and program. I didn't want to do anything that was major that these children were going to miss out on. So faced with this challenge, I decided to extend where we'd been with some HTML and to go back and recap on some of the things recently that we'd just encountered to do with binary. So Monday's lesson, this is lesson 22. Oh, I handed back the exercise books to the class. So this is something that's new for me. I've not used exercise books for years, but I've decided to get back into the habit of using exercise books. So our school has a policy that children receive formal written feedback every six lessons. So that's, for me, that's every sort of 2 or 3 weeks. I collect in their books. And I'd marked their books last week. So I handed their books back to them on Monday. And within the lesson, there's corrections in there that they need to go and do. So some of it is things like literacy errors, where they've not used capital letters in the right place, or they've misspelled something. So we tend to circle those. And then it's up to the children. When we give the books back to them, I then allow sort of 10 or 15 minutes, depending on how much work there is, or 5 minutes, for the children to go and make corrections in their books. We often write actions in it. So the book I'm looking at the moment, this child has got an action on some Python code. It says, show a different way of doing what you've done in line 5. And then here we've got another one where the child has written about CPU performance. And they've said, having more cores can improve the performance, but not necessarily. And he goes on to explain that one. Then he talks about the clock speed. And then he says, cache memory can be quite useful if the clock speed is as good. And I think he means whether it would cope with it. So as an action point, I've said, come on, you need to explain why cache size is often limited. And now what he's done is, so I've collected the books back in again. He's written, cache size is often limited due to its cost. It's extremely expensive, and you don't tend to have large amounts of it. So I returned their books to them in Monday's lesson and asked them to make some corrections to that. Actually, that was in the middle of the lesson. The way I started the lesson on Monday was to recap on an introduction to binary that we had in lesson 19 on the 7th of November. So I wrote some questions on the board and I asked them to answer the questions in their books. So the questions ran like this. It was, why do computers have two different states? That was question number one. Question number two was, give two other names for a base number counting system. Sorry, did I say base 10 number counting system? So the answer I was looking for there was decimal or deanery. Then question three was, give another name for base 2 numbers. And this child has written binary, which is correct. And then question number four was, what numbers are used to represent on and off? And correctly, we've got 1 represents on, 0 represents off. Question number five, explain the difference between a bite, a bit, and a nibble. So they've actually got this wrong. They're saying that a nibble is half a bit, and a bit is an eighth of a bite. So that bit's true, but a nibble is half a bite, not half a bit. Half a bit would be... that's actually quite... wonder what half a bit would look like, because it's either going to be a one or a zero, so it could look like a smaller one or a U. Anyway, I'm playing. And then I gave them some binary conversions. So let's take this number here, 0000011, and convert it to a base 10 number. So the answer was 3, and there was a few more of those. So I gave them, let's see, there was 8 questions. I gave them around 10 minutes to answer the questions in their books. And, oh, I haven't done it on this occasion. What I often then do, well, I'll ask them to swap books with each other. We'll go through the answers. They'll mark whether the answers that their partner has done, they'll mark whether they're correct or not. And then I'll usually build in some time for them to go back and then correct the ones that they got wrong. So, questions on binary. They've corrected their books. And actually, that took up... Oh, yeah, there was a homework that they had in a previous lesson where they had to create... They had to code a HTML page for the lyrics, with the lyrics of a song. So it had to include an image, so a link to an image, and it had to have the lyrics broken into paragraphs. It had to have some formatting, so there would be like bold or italic, maybe some underline. And we, part of the lesson, we reviewed the homeworks that they'd done, and I gave... Oh, yeah, this is what I did. So I identified 5 key areas I was looking for in their HTML page that they coded. So one was it had to have lyrics, 2, it had to have an image, 3, it had to have a style of formatting, 4 was it had to work, and, I should write this down. I can't remember what the 5th one was. I've just wrote down that they had to give each other a score for that page. So they then swap places, they look at each other's code, they examine the HTML, see if it's got all the features that it's supposed to have in it. And then I have this Ranger software that I can send a question out to all their desktops, and it comes up and says, what score did they get? So they can choose a number between 1 and 4 or 1 and 5. And then it attaches or appends that score to the username of the person who was at that computer. So it means I've got an easy way of collecting in scores. So that was pretty much Monday's lesson. We spent a little bit of time talking about how you can represent images in data and how you could use binary to do that. So for homework, I've set them. I wanted them to create 2 8-bit graphic characters. So I explained how they could make a grid and they could use binary to represent whether a pixel was on or off, and then use that to represent some characters. Now, the next lesson this week was on Wednesday, and traditionally, since September, when I have this class, I try to have 1 lesson a week is theory and 1 lesson is programming, and the focus has been HTML, and I've explained that there was quite a few children weren't in the lesson because they were on this retreat. So I thought it would be an idea to introduce some other things connected with HTML. So for the specification, they have to understand that HTML underpins all web pages and how derivatives are used as well. So I split the lesson into 3 parts. The first part was I've been using the w3schools.com website, and because it's in a way it's like a one-stop shop. You can go to it and it's got lots of examples of code. So I showed them an example of some CSS style code, which basically just put a background color on their page. So I asked them all to add that into their page and note what effect that it had. And the background color was set using a hexadecimal code. So this for the RGB, for red, green, and blue colors. So I asked them although we've not covered hexadecimal yet, I asked them to try a range of different codes or values. Okay, so you could have F, 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 which would give black, and 0, 0, Oh, no, that's wrong. It's white. FF, FF, FF is white, and 00000 would be black. And so that I said, right, there's a little bit of CSS. And sure enough, one child put their hand up and said, wouldn't the CSS usually be somewhere separate? Brilliant. Yeah, of course it would be. But at the moment, we're just getting to grips with CSS. So we're using it. We're keeping it in the same code, same page of code as the HTML. So I kind of said, look, there's a whole library here of different examples of CSS. Dip through it, try a few different things, stick it in and basically suck it and see what it does to your page. Now, that seemed to go down really well. And the part, I was going to introduce JavaScript a little bit later on in the lesson, and I decided I was going to leave that and move that into a lesson that we would have in the future. So what I did with JavaScript was about 15, 20 minutes before the end of the lesson, I talked a little bit about JavaScript and how it would be used and the kind of things it did. I showed them an example of something that I'd used, and then I said to them for homework, they had to go to w3schools.com and find an example of some JavaScript code that they could then embed into their page that would, I don't know, it would pop up and say what the time was, or they would have to click OK or something like that. So that's the two lessons I've had this week. I'm not sitting here thinking, wow, that was great, that was really good. I didn't really want to do anything that was too different because I'm conscious that some children have missed the lessons this week because they've been away. So it was really just sort of consolidating, going over things that we'd already done in previous lessons. Now, just before I wrap up, you've been listening to Alan O'Donoghue recording his weekly podcast about what he's teaching with his GCSE Year 10 computing class. If you're interested in the Raspberry Pi, you might want to come to the Raspberry Jam event that we're having in Manchester on Saturday, the 9th of March. We're going to have around 340 people coming along. We've got a whole variety of speakers. We've got Carrie-Anne Philbin. She's the teacher who is really enthusiastic and energetic, and she records all these videos called Geek Girl Diaries. She's coming along. She has been trying things with Raspberry Pi in the classroom. We've got other teachers coming along. In fact, we've got quite a lot of teachers coming to this event because really it's all about education. It's happening at the same time as the Education Innovation Conference, which is in Manchester, and that's on Friday the 8th and Saturday the 9th. And the Education Innovation Conference Festival exhibition is free, but the Raspberry Jam, you need tickets because these Raspberry Jam, well, it's a Raspberry Jamboree. These Raspberry Jams, well, it's a good thing. The tickets tend to sell out really, really, really quickly. So this time I decided I'd slow down the sale of tickets just a little bit to give more people a chance. If you want to send me messages, please do. I mean, if you want to ask me questions about what I'm doing in my classroom, you can send me a message through Twitter at technoteacher, T-E-K-N-O. I also post messages on the Computing at School community site. I really recommend you use that if you're not using it. And I've uploaded some Python materials on there that are free. Yes, totally free. You can download them and you can try them with your Year 7 class or your Year 9. Maybe you've got some Year 9s and you want to find a way of persuading them to think about choosing GCSE computing. Well, you could use some of the materials from the Teach Python to Year 7. They don't have to be Year 7. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.